found out long ago. Oh, it's a long way down to the Holiday Bowl. Oh, Holiday Bowl. Oh, Holiday Bowl.
That's, you know, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
I thought that would.
Working on that for a while.
I've been practicing.
I thought that would go a lot worse than it did.
Most people say those that about most of the things I do.
In case you don't know, this is the Holiday Bowl podcast, which is our fourth podcast today, and. You know,
Our third one closed,
and really, you would think we went in reverse order. You would think it would be the other way around, that we would have gotten really punchy and naked at the end of the night.
But no, this just started off as a naked day right from the beginning.
Yeah, and it's just gone into deeper debauchery, and thus ending with the threesome, because we've decided to invite a third, that being Doug, our bastard child of the blog, being a UGA type.
Since what's up, bros and chick bros?
Hello, darling.
we've decided to tell our mistress about our wife. That's what bringing Doug into this is. And we're here to discuss the Holiday Bowl, which, Doug, I wanted to ask you. The Holiday Bowl has a reputation, and I think it deserves one. And that would be that it's normally just a crazy, like, amazeballs shootout, right? In terms of
you get a Pac-10 team involved in a bowl game. Yeah, typically that's what happens.
Yeah, you get the Big 12 teams too. I mean, they don't.
Yeah.
They'll turn it loose too. They really. By the way, this is a total distraction. By the way, but apparently in Britain, there's an attempt among rock critics to claim that Bob Seger was really underrated. And since I've been fascinated with, like, you know, classic rock solo guys, you know, guys who weren't in a band and guys who made like albums with their faces on the cover, I would just like to note to the world that no. that's what there's no revisionism here.
But see, that ties into this game though, because of all the coaches who are coaching in bowl games this season, the one most likely to sit down and strum out Turn the Page on his guitar, easily Bo Pelini. I think he runs away with that.
Holly, this was already a great idea.
He's naked. I think that helps.
Only from the waist down though.
On the road again. There I am. I think too he'd be a good like a rocker, because you know you can see Pelini making the final noise at the, you know, the like crest of the song, or ow, like a rock, and then he would, you know, punch his brother in the balls.
He sounds like he's got some shana-na-na-na-ing in him.
Well, in this game, by the way, you should know the Holiday Bowl, of any of the bowls, has the most outrageous, extravagant activity schedule. I mean, their activity schedule is amazing. You get the following, okay?
Which is weird, given their idyllic location.
You do, man. I mean, first of all, you get the Port of San Diego Big Bay Balloon Parade. And we haven't had a balloon-oriented event since the New Mexico Bowl, remember?
Oh, Balloon Glow!
Yeah, except this is...
We never did figure out what the hell that is.
Oh, no. I know what it is. It's when they have all of the balloons on the ground.
Oh, that's right. That's where they light up hot air balloons and they don't go anywhere. I can't imagine why I forgot that.
Well, assuming that San Diego's Balloon Parade is like actual large balloons, not like a bunch of kids walking down the street just carrying balloons and waving at people.
It's a shame Mangino never made this bowl game, so he could have stood on the side and gone and it just silently accused every single one of them of mocking him.
Fat jokes.
There's also the parade breakfast, the VIP viewing, all right, which I guess is where you are viewed.
Like examining the troops or whatever that's called. Inspecting the troops.
I think so. Is that
they
where
they stand at attention in their little cleats and like the marshal of the Holiday Bowl or that whale? They truck that whale by. And I know it's not sponsored by Pacific Life anymore. I don't care. They truck that whale by in a giant tank and it just kind of nods silently.
What's up, player? Gurgle. I think also they. That's where they inspect Roy Hello Jr. And they're like, yeah, your hair. It's awesome. Okay. Next. There's a 5K run walk. There's the Big Bay Family Festival, which appears to be one of these things where they just rope off an area, put up a bunch of like face painting and moon bounces, and then say, hey, we did something, right? Families can come here. apparently a moon bounce means you can be. It's really for the kids, but they call it family. Right. And then
moon bounce in that fucking owl movie we saw.
There was everything in that owl movie we saw. There was Helen Mirren. There was vomit. There was owls fashioning helmets and weapons.
What?
With like. Yeah, dude.
Have you
I don't
not
know,
seen
man.
This owl movie, the title of which I refuse to say because it's stupid and I instead just call it Owls or Assholes?
No.
Okay, seriously.
It posits that there's like a secret owl snake alliance. We were talking about year-end movie lists this week, and Livy, my blog compatriot, was like, I honestly didn't understand 68% of the words in this movie, and it was in English.
I'm going to tell you the only thing you need to know. I realize we're going on too long about this, but the only thing that you need to know about this movie, there's a MacGuffin in it, and the MacGuffin is something that you pick out of owl puke.
Basically, the MacGuffin is owl vomit.
We are not making that up.
It's pretty much the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that's
great in like the Lars von Trier sense. Like, it was not an enjoyable experience, but I recognized the artistry.
Well, speaking of recognizing the artistry without having a clue of what's going on, hello Nebraska.
Segway.
We've been pulling this all day, but that one was a full 90 degrees with the brakes screeching.
It was an amazing handbrake turn.
It was Nebraska somehow managed to do the following. They managed to win 10 games. Yay. Good for you, Nebraska. But those three losses were the following teams. I mean, really, the three losses that they had were just completely stonking bizarre. They lost to Texas. You don't really need to clarify that, do you? That they lost to Texas this year 20-13. They only scored 13 points on Texas and somehow lost to the worst offense in the recent history of that school. They also lost to Texas A&M in a game, a 9-6 game, which had the most one-sided, lopsided, potentially corrupt officiating I've ever seen in a football game, and that includes the Swindle in the Swamp. And then they lost to Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game.
If you only score 6 points against Texas A&M, I mean, if the officials had to be involved there someplace. I mean, any one of us could probably go out onto the field and score six. Given 60 minutes to do so, could score 6 points against Texas A&M.
I got
to
say, I feel like I'm more of a defensive back, but I feel like I could get a handy pick six against Gerard Johnson.
This is, by the way, I've always maintained that in any event, you should have to go do it before you could really begin ragging on people, right? You should have to say, well, that's really difficult, and I know exactly how difficult. Like, have you ever thought about, and Holly, I don't know, I think every guy thinks this, they're like, well, what if I went under center, man? What if I just, you know, what if they just let me throw a pass? How bad would that look? Well, actually, most guys think, I could probably throw a slant. I would love to, at full game speed, take a snap and then see how atrocious the entire thing would look.
I could do a shovel pass. I could do a Garrett Gilbert shovel pass. I mean, I could do that.
Are you going from are you going from under center, or are you going from the shotgun?
Is that a metaphor?
I'm going from as far back of the line as I possibly can be. I think that's better for
It's more of a rifle.
It's more the way I'm throwing
with
it.
With a scope on it.
It's more of a mortar. It's more of a potato masher grenade.
Sir, if you will.
Yeah, I want to start back because I don't want to actually have to go through the embarrassment of trying not to fall on my ass going out from under center. Because that's kind of athletic. I really don't want to risk that. You know, or...
Let's just call it an ICBM and I'll throw it from the stand. How about
that? I'm pretty sure there's one activity on a football field that I could complete 50% of the time, and that is an extra point. I think I could get a 50% on extra points from regulation.
We're going to have to get that on video at some point if you would like your infant son to grow up to be the fattest punter in the SEC.
I know. We're going to have to get the technique. I have hit on a regulation field, right, off the hash and from the middle of the field, I have hit 25 yards. 30 yards is ridiculous. 25 yards is doable.
Yeah, when they have that camera kind of sitting back there behind where the holder is set up, and you see what the kicker is seeing, and you see just how long it looks like for that ball to get there. I mean, that makes me have a little bit more respect for kickers, just being intimidated by that stretch of grass that's sitting in front of me that I got to get the ball across.
Yeah, and proof that like the ultimate conceit, like being an athlete.
Tony, I hate you. sorry. We're watching the Music City Bowl.
Holly's watching the Music City Bowl.
Yeah. But wait, moving on.
I want to go spear fishing with Butch Davis in a barrel of water.
I'm going to distract you by asking you to talk a little bit about Washington.
No. Okay. Let's see. Like we said at the end of the season, we think that we did actually end up living every week like it was Sark Week this year. It's just that we didn't really know what Sark Week meant when we started out the year. It turns out that it means, in order, losing to a terrible BYU team in your opening week, getting waxed by Nebraska, beating then 18th ranked USC, losing to Arizona State, beating ranked Oregon State in overtime, losing three games in a row to ranked and good, well, okay, kind of good, Pac-10 teams.
By a margin of 138-30 over those three games.
And one of those was Arizona, so there's not a whole lot of excuse. And then going on a three-game win streak over the dregs of the Pac-10 to scrape your way somehow into the Holiday Bowl. And honestly, I mean, Nebraska beat, we all know this, Nebraska beat Washington 56-21 in September 18th. Of all the regular season rematches to have during bowl season.
I'll have you know, the sanctity of the bowls is very important, young lady.
It is. Just imagine if these games were actually funneling into a larger playoff structure. Wouldn't their meaning be completely... I can't even finish that sentence. That's
yeah, but then they wouldn't get little miniature football helmets. Of course it's for some, miniature football helmets for others.
That's how bullshit that is. I can't even say it. I can't even... Like, all right, anyway... We should go ahead and just note a few things. One, that yes, Nebraska's already beat this team. Badly, in fact. Also, that you're going to get to see the... If things go as they probably should tonight, you're going to get to see the death throes of the Jake Locker as second-round draft pick. Like, he's already out of the first round.
Can we talk for a second about the campaign fueled by an Aaron Andrews tweet that implied that Jake Locker had haters? Does Jake Locker, have we seen Jake Locker haters anywhere, or have we seen people just acknowledging all year long that Jake Locker is not as good at football as we thought he was?
So yeah. I think if you suck, you don't actually have haters. You just have people correctly pointing out that you suck. I mean, there needs to be some kind of dividing line.
If there was some hater campaign, I'd like to think that we are aware of every hating campaign that goes on the internet because everyone's good at something. But this completely missed my radar if there are haters of Jake Locker.
Well, remember, the argument is, if I'm not using the word haters in my argument and you are, then I win.
Right.
Because if you say haters, that means you're dumb. Or at least in that argument, you're being dumb. It's possible to use the word haters in a constructive way. As in, B.O.B. That's who can use the word haters. As in, haters everywhere he go. He can say that. Everyone else who says it, it just means you're dumb.
Is there some kind of Godwin's Law corollary for this? Is there some? Can we give a name to this?
I think it would be. Wouldn't it be the haters rule or the haters maxim?
Sure, go with that.
Right. I'll just let's keep it simple. Let's just a quick round of score predictions, since these have been terrible. Like, nobody's been able to actually pick a bowl game this season. And, oh, dear Jesus, what is that on the screen right now?
Shut up!
Tennessee fans are weird. So, Holly, Doug, in order, then we'll finish up scores and predictions for this game. And you can also just throw in one random chance bet if you care.
56-22. And I think that Jake Locker in the fourth quarter will just rip off his helmet and start beating people with it, and nobody will throw a flag because he looks so American.
Doug?
I think that it's going to be a close game for a while. I think it's going to be some ridiculous score, like 7-6 at halftime. But then in the locker room at halftime, Bo Pelini will show his players pictures of their mothers holding up that day's newspaper and issue some kind of vague threat, and they will suddenly get their asses in gear and win, like, I don't know, 45-20.
I think the final score is going to be 27-0.
That would be terrible.
I don't think Washington's going to score a point.
I think you might be right.
I don't. And I think that somewhere in the third quarter, the announcers will start talking about what a character individual Jake Locker is, because they'll feel really bad for him. That's it. They'll be like, you'll never meet a finer young man. Like, by the fourth quarter, they're going to be offering his daughters to him. They're going to be suggesting that you name children Jake Locker as first and middle name. That's how bad.
And then raise them as soccer players because we're not animals.
My dream for this game is for Todd McShay to be like kind of incognito in the audience, and then like the camera finds him toward the end of the game as Nebraska is putting the finishing touches on a blowout, just to see what his facial expression would be like. I think that'd be really interesting.
He's just sitting there stabbing a doll that has Jake Locker written across it in really shitty Sharpie.
No, he's sitting there in the stands with one lonely teardrop rolling down his face
and like a t-shirt with that English cartoon snowman on it.
Only you can prevent career fires.